Text number 10. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7, The Killing of the Demon Trinavarta. Text number 10. There's no purport, so we'll just read the translation. The assembled gopis and gopas, unaware that Krishna is always unlimited, could not believe that baby Krishna has such inconceivable power. They could not believe the statements of the children. Therefore, they neglected these statements as being childish talks. Text 11. Rudantam sutam adaya jashoda graha sankita krita svasyayanam viprai sukta Tai stana apayayat. Rudantam, crying. Sutam, son. Adaya, picking up. Jashoda, mother Jashoda. Graha sankita. Fearing some bad planet. Krita swasayanam. Immediately performed this ritualistic ceremony for good fortune. Vipray. By calling all the brahmanas. Sukdai. By Vedic hymns. Stanam. Her breast. Apayat. Made the child suck. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thinking that some bad planets had attacked Krishna, Mother Jasoda picked up the crying child and allowed him to suck her breast. Then she called for experienced brahmanas to chant Vedic hymns and perform an auspicious ritualistic ceremony. Purport. Whenever there is some danger or some inauspicious occurrence, it is the custom of Vedic civilization to have qualified brahmanas immediately chant Vedic hymns to counteract it. Mother Jasoda did this properly and allowed the baby to suck her breast. Next text. After the strong, stout, coward men assembled the pots and paraphernalia on the handcart and set it up as before, the brahmanas performed a ritualistic ceremony with a fire sacrifice to appease the bad planets. And then with rice, grains, kusha, and water, and curd, they worshipped the Supreme Lord. Purport. The handcart was loaded with heavy utensils and other paraphernalia. To set the cart back in its original position required much strength, but this was easily done by the coward men. Then, according to the system of the Gopa Jati, various Vedic ceremonies were performed to appease the calamitous situation. I wonder what people would think about us if we told them that this is the solution for appeasing, for protecting a child. How many people would imagine that if a child is being attacked, you chant Vedic hymns to appease the bad planets. Maybe there's a little bit of that nowadays in the due to the influx of astrology, especially Vedic astrology. Maybe there's some chanting of mantras, but usually they're chanting mantras, all kinds of mantras. And here it says they're supposed to chanted by qualified Brahmins. So how many qualified Brahmins have you met lately who could chant these mantras? Qualified Brahmin means that the Brahmin should be able to light a fire by chanting a mantra. Have you ever met anyone could light a fire just by chanting a mantra? Sometimes before a fire ceremony, some of our Brahmins, they put some chemical that goes off in 5 minutes, and they chant a few mantras, and after 5 minutes it lights because of the chemical in the fire, People think because it's because of their chanting. But a qualified Brahmin, qualified means they have the qualities sama, dhamma, tapas, ocham, shantir, arjum, evacha, jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam, brahma, karma, sabhavajam. They have equanimity, sense of mind control. They're clean, they're truthful, they're austere, socham, shantir, they're peaceful, arjavam, they're simple, they have theoretical and applied knowledge, and they're religious. And they're fully equipped with these qualities. In other words, they know Brahman, Brahman chatiti brahmanaha. But that's not available nowadays. There's plenty of calamities, though. So what to do? If there's no qualified Brahmins to chant the Vedic hymns, and there's so many problems going on, what do we do? Yes, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, I can't say that Krishna is going to solve all our problems. We chant Hare Krishna. But the main problem will be solved. What's the main problem we have? What's that? That's not such a problem. It's a problem. It's certainly a problem. The main problem is we're not conscious of Krishna. And because we're not conscious of Krishna, even if we didn't go through birth, death, old age, and disease, we'd still, the material world itself is a problem. If we had the lifetime of Brahma, 311,040,000,000,000 years, I mean, you'd have a lot of candles on the cake on your birthday cake after some time. But still, it doesn't mean all our problems are solved. Our real problem is we're not conscious of Krishna, and therefore we're existing, our consciousness is existing in the material world, but our actual consciousness should be existing in the spiritual platform of bliss, knowledge, eternity. And if we're existing on the spiritual platform, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Nadadam na janam na sendurim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani share bhavatad bhakti ahai. It doesn't really, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't really care if I have to take birth again. Because all I really want is your causeless devotional service. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam katopi labhyate. That Krishna consciousness, or to be actually conscious of Krishna with our normal spiritual senses uncovered, is just an ocean of happiness, love, pleasure, etc., and of awareness. So the only thing we're actually missing is being conscious of Krishna. And the calamities, they're actually auspicious if they help us remember Krishna. Anything that helps us remember Krishna is auspicious, and anything that causes us to forget Krishna is inauspicious. As we know, Queen Kunti and her children, they went through a lot of problems. Does anyone know all the problems they went through that's described in a lot of them? But the one, it says, Vishan Vihagnir Purushada Darshana. You know that verse? We probably know it, but yes, Vishan Mahagnir, you probably know that part.
Then the house of Shalak was burned.
Yes. Vishan Mahagnir, Purushara Adaya. What does Purusha mean? What's that? Purusha is man, and Adaya, it's a word for eating. Man eater. Hindimba. The Pandavas, they were in there. Well, first of all, Bhima was trying to feed, they fed him poison. Not just ordinary poison, Kalakuta poison. One drop would kill an ordinary man, but they made a birthday cake out of it. And as we know, Bhima was quite, he had a good appetite. Therefore, he's called Rikador. What does Rikador mean? What's that?
Wolf belly.
Yes, wolf belly. Wolves have a very ravenous appetite. So he's called wolf belly because his belly was, he was always hungry. When there was one demon, he was killing, he was eating the people in the village. Every day, every month, they made a compact with the demon that all the people in the village, they'd load a cart up with food, and they'd bring it to this demon, and then the demon would eat the cartload of food and eat the person who brought it. So the Pandavas, during their exile, they were staying with one Brahmin, very pious Brahmin family. They were disguised because they were hiding out from Duryodhana and others. But now, when they drew their lots, it came up that this Brahmin was supposed to take the cartload of food that the villagers supplied up to the demon. The demon would eat the food and he'd be eaten too. But Bhima said, no, no, don't do that. I'll take it instead of you. No, no, you're our guest. How can we do this? This is un-Vedic. We can't allow you to do this. No, no, I'll do it. It's no problem. So finally they allowed Bhima to take up the cart of food, a huge cartload of food. So Bhima got up there where the demon was and sat down and ate the food in the cart. So the demon came eventually. And saw there's no food in the cart. There's only Bhima. He said, who ate the food? And Bhima was, it was me. So the demon became very angry. He said, now I'm going to eat you. So Bhima said, good luck. And there was a big fight. Of course, Bhima killed the demon. So usually when the Pandavas were eating food, prasadam, I think they gave one 4/5 of it to Bhima. And what's that? Oh, they took half of it. And they took the other half. Bhima was a big guy. Therefore, if you get generally in our movement, if you be given the name of Bhima Das, you have to have a pretty big body. In any case, Vrikadara Bhima was wolf belly. So this Purushada Darshanad, Bhima killed him also and married his daughter. Who was his daughter? Hindimbi. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanad Asat Asabaya Vanavrana Krishita Asaba Asat Asabaya. What does that mean? What's that? And a sat? What's that? Vicious. It's translated as vicious. Not spiritual. Materialist assembly. And what was that assembly?
Draupadi was insulted?
Yeah, where Draupadi was insulted. They tried to strip Draupadi naked. Dushasan. Asara sabaya vana krishita. And they were sent into exile for 14 years into the forest. Ride, ride, neka, mahara, tastra. So, and finally, when they won the battle of Kurukshetra and everything's all right, Ashwatthama threw Brahmastra weapons to kill each one of the Pandavas. I mean, if you think you're having a bad day, think about the Pandavas. Finally, after fighting for 18 days on the battlefield, they killed millions of warriors. Finally, they want to take a little rest and someone throws a Brahmastra weapon at them. Dronyastra yastrad, and Drona threw it at them. So what did Queen Kunti said? This is getting too much. We don't have life insurance. What are we supposed to do? Our best friend is Krishna and our life is a disaster. They're going to read about it in the Bhagavatam. Where is the complaint department? No, she says that Vipadak Shanti Takshasva Tatra Tatra Jagat Jago Bhavato darshanam nasyat apana bhava darshanam. I wish that we can see these calamities again and again, so we can see you again and again. Because by seeing you, there'll be no more seeing repeated birth and death. So what we should take as auspicious is when we remember Krishna. Even though in the worst difficulty, if we remember Krishna, it's very auspicious, especially if it allows us to concentrate our minds upon Krishna. For instance, our famous Ambarish Maharaj, after Duryodhana, with his 50,000 disciples, came to take lunch in the forest. Now, Duryodhana was always planning how to harass the Pandavas, even when they were in exile. He was so envious. And so, when this great yogi, Durvasa Muni, came, and Duryodhana gave him prasadam, fed him sumptuously, he recommended to him to go into the forest, because he said that the Pandavas prasadam is twice as good as mine. So this yogi with his 50,000 followers, Durvasa Muni, and he said, no, the best time of prasadam is 1 o'clock, right after the Pandavas ate. So he went into the forest, Durvasa Muni, with his 50,000 disciples, right after the Pandavas ate prasadam, and all the Brahmins ate, because Draupadi had a pot given to her by none other than Durvasa Muni, that as long as she didn't eat, then the pot would give unlimited food. So they came there right after Draupadi took the remnants. And Durvasa Muni came in the forest. There's only trees with leaves. And even if you have to pick 50,000 leaves, it takes some time to feed the sages. And I don't think they'd be very happy eating leaves. So they came there at that time, and Yudhisthira Maharaj said, no, it's no problem, we'll give you prasadam. Just bathe in the river, in the Ganges, and after you're done, you can come. So then Yudhisthira Maharaj said, is there anything left in the pot? And Draupadi said, no, I ate. There's nothing. So then Krishna knew about that, so he came and he asked for prasadam. So Draupadi started to cry. She said, we can't feed the sages. Now we can't feed Krishna either. This is really a bad day. So now Krishna said, no, check the pot, see if there's anything there. And they checked the pot and there was a little bit of sabji. So Krishna ate that little bit of sabji. And it says the whole three worlds were completely satisfied, because Krishna was satisfied. So Durvasa Muni and his 50,000 followers in the Ganges suddenly felt that they were completely full. They couldn't eat anything. So they thought, if we go to see Maharaj Yudhisthira, he has all this elaborate prasadam, we can't eat anything, he'll get insulted. So they all left and fled. That way Krishna protected the Pandavas and Draupadi. So many problems, one after another. But in another instance with Durvasa Muni, when Ambarish Maharaj was completing his fasting for Ekadasi, and he had to break it at a certain time, at that time Durvasa Muni showed up and asked for prasadam. So Ambarish Maharaj said, well, just take your bath, and when you come back, we'll give you some prasadam. So they went to take their bath, and when he came back, he stayed a long time in the Ganges, and it was the time to break the fast. So Ambarish Maharaj had a choice. Either he didn't break the fast, which means all his pious activities he accrued from the fasting would be lost, or he'd break the fast and maybe Durvasa Muni would be insulted, because you're not supposed to take prasadam before the Brahmin takes prasadam. So he consulted the Brahmins, and they said, if you take water, it's breaking the fast and not breaking the fast. So he took a little bit of water to break his fast. And Devasa Muni came back, and by his mystic power, he realized that Ambarish Maharaj had broken his fast by taking water. Now, he could have thought he didn't break his fast because he just took water, but he decided he broke his fast because he took water. And because Devasa Muni was naturally envious, he plucked a hair from his head. I mean, that takes a lot of effort. First of all, to get one hair from your head, you need mystic power. Try it. See if you can get one hair out of your head. He plucked it out of his head, and it turned into a fiery demon, and he threw it at Ambarish Maharaj. So what did Ambarish Maharaj do? Did he duck? Did he run away? Did he cry? Yes, tears came from his eyes. But the tears came out of his eyes because of ecstasy. Because all he did was concentrate his mind upon Krishna. And it was so ecstatic, concentrating his mind upon Krishna, that tears of ecstasy came out of his eyes. And then once Krishna threw his Sudarshan Chakra and went after the fiery demon, destroyed it, and then went after Devasa Muni. So we have so many different protectors. But our actual protection is ultimately, even if we apply all the other protectors in our lives, and we have so many of them, but at least we should also at the same time remember Krishna. Because if we remember Krishna, then we can get his full mercy. If Krishna decides to protect us, he'll even send his Sudarshan Chakra to protect us. Otherwise, Krishna may think, well, now it's time for you to go back to Godhead. If we're actually completely meditating or focused on Krishna, then it's very auspicious to leave at that particular time. Krishna Padiya Parapankaja Panjarandra. As the great devotee Kulakshetra Maharaj prayed, let my mind at once enter into the swan of your lotus feet. Because I have to wait to my normal death, or my throat becomes choked up, I may not be able to chant your name. So we shouldn't think that the real auspicious death is any time I can focus my mind completely upon Krishna. Then if I leave at that particular time, then I go back to the spiritual world. Of course, anyone who can focus his mind completely upon Krishna is ready in the spiritual world. He doesn't have to leave his body at that time. But if it happens like that, that's all right. As it says in the Bhagavad Gita, does anyone know the verse from the 8th chapter in Bhagavad Gita where the devotee doesn't care about when he leaves his body? I mean, it's, generally speaking, I never heard anyone give a class on that, but it's quite inauspicious. Naiti Shriti Partha Janan Yoga Muiti Kastina Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhavarjuna. Although the devotees know these two paths, Arjuna, they are not never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. In other words, the solution to our ultimate problems, the fact that we've forgotten Krishna, is a very simple solution. Always remember Krishna and never forget him. And that's basically what we're doing here. Smarta Vyak Sadatam Vishnu Vismartak Jatuna Kinchit Sarva Vidi Nised Yasyor Etiyor Eva Kingara. Does anyone know the translation? Janaran, do you know the translation of that? Yes, Jagannath Sutta.
Always remember Krishna, never forget him.
Yes, that's the first part. All the vidis and all the nishedas. The vidis are what we're supposed to do, and the nishedas is what we're not supposed to do. They're all contained in that one injunction, to always remember Krishna and never forget him.
They're servants, the least.
Kingara, yes. They're all subordinate. So what we're trying to do is remember Krishna. If we're in the class, if someone says, Sit Krishna, then that's a perfect class. And if we remember Krishna during the class, then the class has served its purpose. And at the end of class, we remember, what was that class all about? And someone comes up, it was about Krishna. Oh, that's right, it was about Krishna. Therefore, we read Prabhupada's purports. Sometimes we find, you know, every other word is Krishna. Why? Because Prabhupada wants us to remember Krishna. That's why this movement is called the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We're supposed to become conscious of Krishna. So if we, at the end of the class, we conclude that I should become conscious of Krishna, then my class is successful. Then finally the point, oh, that's why I'm here. The vajanam is good, but you know, there must be some other reason. How did I come here anyhow? I think I turned the wrong corner. I was going shopping and I wound up here and I don't even know why I'm here. Oh, I'm here to remember Krishna. Oh, that's good. So here we find the Brahmins chanting the Vedic. But the Vedic hymns are all about Krishna. The resident Vrindavan really couldn't care about the Vedic hymns. The most important thing was that the child Krishna was all right because he sucked Mother Jasoda's breast. And they chanted the Vedic hymns because they heard that's for protection. But actually, all the Vedic hymns are all just different manifestations of Krishna. But they're all different, coming from Narayan. They're the breathing of Narayan, so which is none different from Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, they take shelter in Narayan only to protect Krishna. But we take shelter of Krishna because that's our ultimate protection. That's our purpose of what our life is. Whether Krishna protects us or not is another thing, the material body. But if we take shelter of Krishna, we're automatically perfectly protected. The other things are not so important as taking shelter of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
So, since not so many devotees are so active, or they don't come to the temple, or they don't participate in the preaching movement, could we conclude that they are actually doing, in their own terms, good? That they don't have any difficulties, and then that's why they don't...
Yeah, I'm sure they're completely in bliss in Maya. How can they have no difficulty? Do you have any difficulties during the day?
Of course I do.
Well, imagine if you had a house and a car and a job and a wife and children.
How come then Draupadi was and Balas, they were turning towards Krishna, but we don't, because we have difficulties?
Because we're in Maya. Because we've forgotten Krishna. Do you ever forget Krishna during the day? It just so happens when we come to class, there might be some opportunity to remember him or the program. But often we get distracted. So what to speak, imagine if you live outside for a number of years and you don't have any morning program. You chant your rounds sometimes, snick, snick, round, round, day, day, day. The last thing you remember when you're chanting around is Krishna. So, you know, why should we think that because we have a dhoti on and we come to Janmasthami once a year, that we have no problems and we're always remembering Krishna? It's not possible. We have a hard time coming to the program, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. What to speak of someone who doesn't have that opportunity? So the conclusion is everyone, doesn't matter your householder, Grihe Thakur, Vani Thakur, or you're living in the forest, everyone should have a morning program. That's the only protection. It's the only way of making progress. Otherwise, we're wasting our time here, just trying to pay the bills, feed the empty stomach today, so we're prepared for tomorrow to feed the empty stomach. Anything else? Pala Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.